You'll get an answer to the fact, the question, why do some software companies grow so fast and the majority of them don't? They just sort of stumble along. Continue on, Mark.
Well, I think, first of all, that if you look at any area of endeavour, competitive endeavour, there is always going to be the winners and losers. So there's always going to be a certain number that do better in whatever you look at, you know, whether that's sport, business, you know, even scientific research.
Sure.
There's going to be the small percentage that does better. I think what's particularly surprising in the software sector is even more so in just recent years, and I can say this because I've been in this sector for a long time and I can see the changes, is that the top 1-3%, there's a bigger gap.
Yes. Yeah. Dramatic leap forward, isn't it?
Yeah. And they are able to grow at a faster rate than ever before. Software companies now grow much faster. The very successful ones grow much faster. You know, we started studying this some time ago, and we could see there are examples of companies going from $0 to $1 billion valuation.
Actually, yeah.
Becoming, you know, the fabled unicorn software company in just over 3 years.
Yeah, and that's the nature of the industry, though, isn't it? Because we now have software that is software as a service, SaaS.
Yes.
And there is nowhere really on the planet that you can't reach out and provide global reach. It's a massive scale. It's not just your own country, your own town. It's anywhere. Yeah.
No. I mean, if you look at a professional service provider, look at an accountant or a lawyer, that typically they're going to be doing business with people within maybe 30 miles, but probably in reality, probably 10 miles or even less.
Yeah.
A software company could be doing business with a company anywhere in the world or any individual in the world because there are no regional bounds. So,
but the mistake people make is they believe that they may have the best technology solution, SaaS, that it's enabled to be global, but they still don't make it.
Yeah. Well, that really comes back to what we've recently just renamed, and we're calling the Bamboo Report, which is the studying the, you know, over 400 of the most successful software companies. That's quite difficult to say.
It is. It's really difficult.
The most
was
successful.
Was a rum in your coffee, mate?
Over 400 of the most successful software companies to say, why are they successful? I mean, that's a great question to have and to look at them. And that's not an easy one to answer.
Yeah, but there's been lots of research on the financial bits of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Loads of people have done the financial bit.
Yes.
They've never actually said why or how.
Yeah, that was never satisfactory for me at all. I've looked at every single one of those reports. Literally, I've looked at every one because we had three full-time researchers who spent about 8 months digging up all of those reports. So where they'd done studies on software companies, I said, go out, rather than us do it, go out and find all the reports because there must be lots of them.
Yeah.
And there
You'd
were.
Have thought people would have wanted to know.
Yeah, there were. They were awful. I don't want to upset anyone out there that was involved in this, but they were awful because they were all created by very much financial organisations. They measured things in terms that they were comfortable with in their own world. But there's a lot more involved in being successful, you know.
If I can insert something in here, it's a bit like sending a very technical person to describe the Mona Lisa. they may come back with a canvas and it's got oil and it's this many colors and it's this and that, and they were measuring this piece of crafted artwork in a very logical, rational way, but actually the real secret is looking at it as a piece of art.
Yes,
that's a complete thing.
They would give you the thickness of the paint and the thickness of the canvas and the width down to the last micrometer, but it doesn't really tell you a lot, does it? That's the output, and that's what this was like. And you know, they were trying to find the common denominators. And I said, we've got to look at this from a much broader perspective. And to that extent, that made it very difficult. So we've been doing this research for 3 years, and it's ongoing, and we're always learning things. But there were things that really jumped out at us from the start. And I personally went through the prospect journey with these companies, because you get to understand a lot that goes on beneath the bonnet, as people say. You know, what goes on beneath the bonnet is interesting. And I can also compare that to all of the software companies that I've met over the last few decades.
Yeah, all those hundreds of presentations and things. Yeah,
and meeting those senior people. And the first thing that I would say is, your software is not the differentiator that's going to make you successful or not. Having excellent software won't do it, guys. And I can hear the groans and moans and the swearing going on if people listening to that. But it's absolutely true, because having excellent software is a given.
It is a given. And putting more money to make a better mousetrap was never the way to make your fortune.
No.
You know, the basic mousetrap works. That's why it sells the way it is. The advanced mousetraps, difficult to sell. Difficult to sell.
Yeah, so it's I've heard it too often that anybody who starts a software company, even if you're not a software programmer, you're going to be a technologist. There's very few people that I've ever met in the software sector who aren't technologists, meaning they love technology. They like to learn about it. They like it in their life.
Yes.
And the problem is that they have that perspective. And that means that their next release of their, you know, the new version of their software is going to be the one that cracks it for them. And I don't see it. It very rarely happens that way.
Well, it's that classic thing about you can have the best technology, but if no one knows it's there, like the tree in the forest.
Yes. You know, and that's...
Falls over, does it make a noise? No, it didn't.
That actually is a good analogy. You know, like the bamboo. So we called it the bamboo report. Why? Because bamboo grows like hell. It can grow 47 inches in a single day, which is nearly 2 inches an hour. Wow. I mean, that is phenomenal.
You could almost see it. You could almost watch it.
Yeah, you probably could actually have that right. but what does bamboo need? It doesn't just need one thing. You have to put it into the right environment. You know, you could give it water and light and place it in Greenland, but it's not going to grow fast. You've got to, it's multiple things that are needed. It's the right environment.
Right nutrients,
nourishment. All the nutrients, that light and the air and everything else that is needed, the right temperature, and then it can grow. Yeah. And that's what you need with software companies. So focusing, and you can see this so clearly when you're not part of the company, when you've been doing this as long as I have, you can walk into an organization, you can almost smell it, the techiness, where they're getting, this isn't working, let's get some more techies in here, we've got to develop this first software further.
It drives
faster.
Me, it's one of my personal just grievances is when I see them doubling down on a bad bet.
Yes.
Good money after bad, it's sort of...
Yeah.
You've got something here, it's really competitive, but you're not positioning and communicating its strengths.
Yeah.
Don't double down on double development. It's not that matters. And in fact, one of the things he used to say to me is that as well as being a technology company, they should be a sales company.
Oh, definitely.
And we had lovely debates back and forward. Yes, I agree. At the end of the day, until the money's in the bank, no business really should count itself growing. Mm. But I think one of the things that we're now agreeing is before you get to sales, you need to be a communications company as well.
Yes.
You need to be able to communicate what it is you have, why I should care, get my attention and my desire to have your solution over anyone else.
Yeah, and I think that they're probably at the top level. The understanding around communication can fall under the umbrella of marketing.
Fluffy.
And then that can fall under the umbrella of that fluffy stuff that I'm not really interested in. I think
wasted money they've spent as well.
Yeah.
And so they've been stung in the past.
Yeah. And the just have to, you have to come back to the reality is you have to be excellent at communication to your market.
Yes.
There is no alternative.
And all the top 3% of companies have this right at the core of what they do. They take the money they generate and they simplify and they keep their message consistent and they do it again and again and again. And it gets them that acceleration, that faster growth suddenly happens.
If your game plan isn't working, change the plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't double down on it.
And well, it's that classic line about doing the same thing again and again and expecting different outcomes. That's the definition of insanity.
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of hard workers.
Oh, yeah. We're not questioning that.
No, and I admire that. I do think that, that they work very, very hard. And quite often the answer is we'll work harder at this. Mm-hmm. But they're working harder at the wrong thing.
Yes.
I mean, one there are lots of factors here. I said it's an environment. There's many factors.
It is environment, yeah.
But one of them is to understand your prospect and to be able to see through their eyes your company and that journey. We call it CSX, competitive space experience.
Yes. It's
the experience that a prospect has from when they first come across you to get to the stage, I need to understand about this, I need to see how this matches with the problems that I have, I need to understand about the cost, the service, all of those things. That journey has to be really good. And guess what? The most successful companies, they're brilliant at it. And I've been
You've actually experienced the steps in this where they'll have a dedicated person manning that step.
Yeah, very, very common. Yeah.
One of the beautiful things that we've dreamt up is this analogy of stepping stones across a river. If you can imagine the river, it'll take clients away from you if they fall off a stone and get off your journey. But you've got to take them across all these steps as smoothly and safely as possible to reach the bank that you've put in their head as a desired place to be.
Yes.
And yeah, you experienced the stepping stone sort of, one person manning that stone as an expert.
Yes, that's right. And I think, Salesforce did this very successfully many, many years ago, is that they put more emphasis on the people as part of a process and being experts at their particular stepping stone, if you like.
Yes.
So that they knew how to manage that. And they were experts at that. And that really worked. And I've experienced that as a potential prospect. And I've even deliberately gone in to try to throw them off their step.
And very in character.
and very politely, they've kept me back on the track.
That's right. You've got to qualify in their mind as a real prospect. I mean, too many people are just willing to carry on for months and months and months with people who are really not the ideal client.
Mm.
It's soaking up time they can ill afford to lose. But that person's role on that step is to really get to know whether the prospect is as valuable to the company as they can be.
Yeah, and I think also it's the right communication, the appropriate communication at the right time. And I think the other analogy that we use is, going to a party, meeting a stranger and going up to them and saying, "Hello, my name's Mark. Could you give me your home address? Because I want to come home with you." I probably wouldn't last very long at the party if I went around.
No,
but
no.
Essentially, a lot of software companies do something very similar. They get the first bite of a possible interest and the salesman's in there wanting to speak to them, get their email address, wants to know their company, wants to know their budget.
Can I call you in 2 weeks? Can I just make this appointment? Yeah.
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 Just straight in.
You wouldn't do it in a social circumstance. So why is it okay in a business circumstance?
Why wouldn't you do it in a social circumstance? Because it scares people away.
Absolutely right.
Why are salespeople doing it?
Yeah, yeah. Targets. But, the interesting thing is if we can reverse the whole psychology and provide a rich flow of well-qualified, hungry prospects to a salesperson, he'll be very relaxed, very happy to deal with those. What he doesn't like is low-quality leads thrown over the table and targets coming up behind him.
Yeah, that's right. It's about about having sufficient marketing fuel.
Yes.
Sufficient leads, sufficient qualified leads. So you have marketing qualified leads, but it's the art of being able to do that, you know, right the way from the attention, bringing people along through those psychological stages to the point where that prospect is now interested in taking that further step, because it is a small step and it's not trying to leap across the river, which is really chancy because you haven't taken them on the stepping stones right the way across. You've left them stranded and they're yes. going to look at that and say, do am I going to leap? And so yeah. they'll probably turn around and go back. No, I'll cross somewhere else where it's a lot easier. And that's going to be with one of your competitors.
And that's with the company that's likely to be the fast growth, because they've made that journey really easy across the river.
Yeah, and they've made it a pleasant journey. They've made it interesting. They've made it engaging. They've made it compelling. And that's what makes them their choice.
Well, you know, I'm obsessed about this, but the ultimate in these journeys, Mark, are ones that you're not even aware it's a journey.
Yes.
You know, it's so seamless, so simple, so easy and intuitive. You're not even aware that you're going through gates and steps and processes. You just do what you'd normally do with somebody you're buying from that you like, that you want to do business with.
I think we've said it. I think we've done it. That is, yeah, that's encapsulated. Fast growth, just like bamboo.
Right, off we go.